John chapter 4, verse 1, just one verse. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John chapter 4, 1. So we are going to go verse by verse, finishing the whole entire chapter of 1 John chapter 4. And we saw here, beloved, believe not every spirit. We saw what do you mean by believe not every spirit. What is he talking here? And we saw when he says believe not every spirit, that means believe not the spirit of error, false teachings. And you see this in 1 John chapter 4 verse 6. And then as we saw that, then he says that many, but try the spirit whether they are of God. And we saw the word try means dokimazo, the Greek word, and it literally means what? Examine. Even it means to scrutinize, examine and test and see if they are of God. And so now what I'm going to do today is I'm going to go on verse 2 next week, but today I'm going to give a teaching that was taught by Thomas Brooks, who was a Puritan. In 1608, he lived in 1608 to 1680. Thomas Brooks is very famous for his good preaching. He was a Puritan pastor, and he gave a sermon, Seven Characteristics of False Teachers. And this is a great blessing, this teaching. I mean, Puritan teaching is really good. It's good sound doctrine. So I'm going to use that sermon and put it into this so it will really flow with the context of what we are teaching today. And Thomas Brooks, of course, he lived in England. You know, Puritans, through the Puritans came the to the United States, the gospel. If not for the Puritans, you know, they are the ones who brought the gospel to us. And so Thomas Brooks said, Satan labors might and main by false teachers, which are his messengers and ambassadors, to deceive, to delude, and forever unto the precious souls of men. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, through a lot of scriptures, because he gives a lot of scriptures, okay? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, and even as there will be false teachers among, where? You. That means we talked this yet last time, that the many of the false teachers will come within the church. That we will come inside the church. And we saw last week how before Constantine the emperor, the persecution was outside of the church. Christians were persecuted, put into the lions to be eaten alive. They were crucified. But after Constantine the Roman emperor quote embraced Christianity, no persecution after that. Satan went inside the church. Everybody is a Christian now. Just to get baptized, you're a Christian. All heathenistic philosophy came into the church. That's how the Roman Catholicism started. Before, it was not called Roman Catholicism. It was called Catholicism or Universal Christianity. But here, we see then came the Apostle Paul warned in Ephesians chapter 20. We saw how false teachers, false prophets will come inside the church from within. And here Peter is talking to the same thing. There will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 2 says, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you, They will exploit you with covetousness, with deceptive words, and a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Now, the first characteristic what Thomas Brooks talks about is this. Number one, false teachers are men pleasers. False teachers are men pleasers. They preach more to please the ear than to profit the heart. And you can see this today happening very clearly. How people want to hear 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it says here, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And here we see the people, they want to hear what their itchy ears want to hear. Because false teaching is always very pleasing to the flesh and not to the soul. It's very pleasing to the flesh, false teaching, but it's not to the soul. And false teachers are men pleasers. They want to please men. They don't want to please God. They want to see big crowds. They want to see many people around them. They are on the stage and they want to be noticed by everybody. And they want to be somebody. And they want to please God. They're men pleasers. But their teachings will never profit your heart. Isaiah chapter 30. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 to 10. Here, the word of God says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, but speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. These are the children of God. Who is the seer? The seer is the one who sees future things and tells. Okay? And prophet is the one who speaks the word of God to the people. And here, these rebellious people are telling to the seer and the prophets, don't tell us those things, those judgmental things, but tell us, you know, things that we like to hear. That's basically what they're saying is. We want to hear what we like to hear. Don't tell us those judgmental things. And that's what the generation, these are people who are called themselves Christians at that time. They don't want to hear the truth. And in the same way today, here we see people, these false prophets, they want to please men. We want to hear, alright, I'll give you what you like to hear. Right? And you can draw a crowd. But if you tell the truth, people are going to get mad at you. They don't want to hear. Again, Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 30. God says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. Amazing and the worst thing has been happened in the land. What? The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. You see that? They love it. But what will you do in the end? Jeremiah chapter 5, 30 and 31. The people love it. Don't you see today? We are living in the same days that many are gathered around false teachers and they love to hear them. And if you ask them, they love the guy more than God. They love these teachers more than God, more than Jesus Christ. They are the center. They are worshipping a man. They are worshipping a leader. All false teachers, false doctrines, they come within, there's an originator. There's a man behind it. And their whole goal is to deception. They're very good in brainwashing people. Brainwashing. And this is satanic. This is satanic. And they want to please men. And they want to draw a crowd. They want to be in the center. And the second thing, there's another scripture. Then he goes on to say, false teachers are soul undoers. Meaning they don't want to win the soul, but they will undo. Even if you are coming to Christ, you want to learn more. Their goal is to undo the soul, so they will not go to the right way. These are old English words, okay? So we need to understand what he's trying to say here. They are like evil, I don't know what this word is, corrugians or whatever. The skin over the wound, but they heal it, okay? It's like a doctor trying to heal it, but they're not healing properly. And he says, false teachers are hell's greatest enrichers. Not bitter, but flattering words do all the mischief. Teachers that are sweet soul poisoners. That's interesting. Sweet soul poisoners. It's a poison, but it looks like a beautiful cake. It's sweet, but it's poison. You will die at the end. It's very attractive. John Owen, another Puritan, said, as I quoted last time, he said, false teaching is very pleasing to the flesh, but not to the heart. The second, let me give you another scripture here. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. It's not a prophet. It's not profitable. They speak a vision of their own heart. Jeremiah 23:16. Not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his heart, and they say, no evil shall come upon you. Their message is peace, prosperity, and everything else. Not sin, not judgment, nothing like that. Here, Jeremiah is talking to the backslidden people of Israel. And what happened at the end? What happened at the end of Jeremiah? Nebuchadnezzar came, the foreign nation came. And judgment came to the people. The false prophets are all wrong. Nobody wanted to listen to Jeremiah because he was telling the truth. He was not a very popular prophet because he was telling the truth. And if you do tell the truth, you're not going to be very popular. You're going to be very unpopular. And if you want to be on the popular list today, on the preachers, the best way you can be is a false prophet. You'll be very popular if you will be very popular if you preach false doctrines. But if you preach the sound doctrine, the true doctrine of God, you're not going to be very popular. And that's something we see throughout in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the second characteristic of a false, the first characteristic of a false prophet is what now? False teachers are men pleasers, and we saw a lot of scriptures on that. So second characteristic of a false teacher is false teachers are notable in casting dirt, scorn, and reproach upon the persons, names, and credits of Christ's most faithful ambassadors. What he's saying here is that false teachers, they will cast all kinds of bad things upon the true teachers who are preaching the word of God. Amen. They will persecute the prophets who are preaching the true teachings. And a good scripture is Numbers chapter 16 verse 13. Read from Numbers chapter 16 verse 1. That's what it says here. It's my Numbers 16:1 says, "Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, son of Reuben, took men." What did they do now? This is a conspiracy. You can see that. It's a plan. "And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown." You can see the conspiracy. They kind of poison the other people, brainwash the other people against God's servant Moses. Verse 3, "They gathered together against Moses and Aaron." Here we see against Moses and Aaron, "and said to them," now this is what they are charged, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Then why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" Well, it looks pretty kind of like a legal way. They kind of mixed up the word of God. You can see the brainwashing here. "You're taking too much, Moses and Aaron. It's too much for you. And why do you have to be the one doing all these things? Why you have to be the exalted, you know, the leader of this?" It's a question. It's something, you know, comes with poison. And here they are, false teachers. They will come and very subtle way, divisive way, very seducingly will come against the true prophets of God. Remember, Nehemiah was building the wall. How many times the false prophets came and told Nehemiah, and all the reasons they gave Nehemiah were very legalistic reasons. But Nehemiah said, "I got a job to do, and I'm not getting down from this wall until I finish." And here we see false prophets, how they come. Then what happened? Very interesting. Of course, Moses got very angry. He got very upset. Verse 20 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses." So the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "And Aaron, saying, separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." God said, "You separate from this congregation. These are a lot of people who are coming against you. You separate them, and I'm going to consume them in a moment, in a flash." You know what happened? Turn with me to verse 31. "Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words," God speaking all his words, "that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households, all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they all in those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly." Wow. Pretty scary. This is where these people, they have so much jealousy because somebody is preaching the true doctrine. How come it's not me? They always cast bad things upon. Yeah, what happened to Jesus, huh? When Jesus was telling the truth, the Pharisees were very upset because men were following him. They don't like it. So they were jealous. They wanted to get him and kill him. And a lot of people say, "Well, we are the true church. We are the only true church." This is one of the things you will see in a false prophecies, false teachers. They always try to separate the others and say, "We are the true church. You need to get baptized in our church." You got to follow our principles. You got to follow our ways. And only, if you come to this church, you're saved. All the others are lost. You turn me to the 1 Kings chapter 22. Story here. True, they are going to persecute you. 1 Kings chapter 22. Let's start with verse 10 here. The king of Israel, here we see the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chinanah, had made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall go the Syrians until they are destroyed." Of course, this Zedekiah is a false prophet. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it unto the king's hand." They're all saying, everything is going to be okay. You're going to be delivered. Everything is going to be fine and dandy. Don't worry about it. But these are all false prophets. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen to the words of prophets. With one accord, encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement." Now here comes the true prophet, and they are saying, you know, give us a good encouragement. Okay? We want encouragement. We don't want judgment or sin or evil or anything like that. We want encouragement. Okay? Just like all the other prophets, like them. Alright? Don't speak anything else. So what did he say, the true prophet? In Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, then I will speak." Hey, so word of God, nothing else. I'm going to speak the word of God, nothing else. God says in his word, that's what I'm going to speak. I'm not going to compromise. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain?" And he answered, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the king." So the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you will tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to the house in peace.'" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" This guy is not good. I don't want to hear him because he's always talking. He doesn't give me good encouragement. He doesn't please to my flesh. You know, it pleases the other prophets, pleases the flesh, but this guy doesn't. Then Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand, on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead?' So one spoke in his manner, and another spoke in this manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.' The Lord said, 'In what way?' So he said, 'I will go out, be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets.' And the Lord said, 'You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so.'" What did we learn last week? The spirit of lying we saw. As 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. "Therefore look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in his mouth, and all these prophets are yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you." Now Zedekiah, the false prophet, the son of Chenaniah, went near, and what did he do? He struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from and speak?" And here we see then how in verse 26, "Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, Joash, the king's son." And we see verse 27, "Thus says the king, 'Put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread and affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace.'" That's what happens. When you tell the truth, that's what happens. You're going to be persecuted. Exactly that's what the Pharisees did to Jesus. Exactly that's what's happened in the New Testament church. The Apostle Paul, Peter, they were all persecuted because they were telling the truth. But if you want to join the crowd, you can compromise. And you'll be in the crowd, you will not be persecuted. Because You want to compromise. You just want to win the friends. You want to be just go with the flow. But if you just tell what really what the Word of God says, trouble. You'll be very unpopular. Apostle Paul said, "Oh, the dirt, the filth, the scorn that is thrown upon those whom the world is not worthy." The third characteristic of the false prophet is false teachers are ventures of devices and visions of their own heads and hearts. It's not through the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. It all comes from their own imaginations, not from the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13, starting from 13. "Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, You shall not see the sword, nor shall you have a famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart." Here we see during Jeremiah's time, all these false prophets going and telling, there's no judgment. Jeremiah is a liar. There's no judgment. It's not going to come. On the other hand, Jeremiah is saying, judgment is going to come unless you repent. And people are saying, there's no judgment. There's no famine. But God said, these guys are liars. They are telling things from their own deceitful, from the deceptive of the heart. And Thomas Brooks, he goes on to say, "Are there not multitudes in this nation whose visions are but golden delusions, lying vanities, brain slick fantasies?" People like golden delusions. They are golden, but they are deluded. They are delusions. They are just lying vanities. They are fantasies, but brain sick fantasies. These are Satan's great benefactors. And such a divine justice will hang up in hell as the greatest malefactors. That means, you know, it's like criminals. If the physician of soul does not prevent it, if God does not prevent it, He is the physician of the soul. He is the one who can save. He is the one who can do something. He is the one who can open our eyes and see, show you what you are doing is wrong. If He doesn't do it, there will be millions of people who will be going to hell because of their false schemes, because of their false words, because of their deceptive fantasies and beautiful delusions. The fourth characteristic is false teachers easily pass over the great and weighty things, both of law and gospel, and stand most upon those things that are of the least moment and concernment to the souls of men. What he is saying here is that the false teachers kind of major in the minors, little small things. They will least of the things, those what they will major. And Martin Luther said, actually he quotes Martin Luther here. Martin Luther, you know, of course, everybody knows Martin Luther, who brought Reformation. And he said, "Luther complained of such in his time as he would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." So they major on the minors. And this age is full of such teachers, such monsters. And if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. Matthew 23, 24. Jesus speaking. "Blind guides who strain out a gnat and sort." Center is Christ. I mean, we are saved by His, who Christ is, what He has done on the cross. He is the mediator. We were enemies of God. Christ came. He came to reconcile us back to God. That was his ministry, ministry of reconciliation. We were enemies. Now Christ reconciled. How did he do that reconciliation? He did what we couldn't do. We couldn't do it. God gave the law. The law was given for us. If you keep the law, you're going to bless. If you cannot, you're going to be cursed. But we know nobody can keep the law. So God gave the law to show us that we are miserable creatures. We cannot. That's why Martin Luther, in the early, before the Reformation, he was, you know, he was a man who was in the monastery. And he was a very strong Roman Catholic. And Martin Luther, he was a very honest man. And every day he go to confess his sins to the priest, and the priest comes. And Martin Luther, when he confesses his sins, he will confess his sins for hours and hours and hours. You know, sometimes for 6 hours he's still confessing his sins, and the priest is getting, "What is this, Luther? You're confessing?" And Luther was very honest of his sins, even the little small things he's confessing. Then the worst thing is, then Luther goes after so many hours confessing his sins, he goes, then he comes back, "Oh, I forgot something else." That's what he was, because he was really looking to keep the law. But one day, when he was reading the book of Romans, a commentary by Augustine, he said, "By grace, grace." He saw, we are saved not by keeping the law, but by grace. He said, the heavens open suddenly. And he saw that he was open. It was all what Christ did. It was on Christ's righteousness that you are saved. Not on your righteousness, what you are trying to do. And all the false teachers, they will have a lot of their opinions and regulations. And you got to do this and little stuff. Everything is around Christ, but not on Christ. That's another way to discern that. And where did I start? What point was that? No, fourth, right? Okay. Was it for the fourth? Okay, yeah, the fourth characteristic. Okay. And if you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, and which some have strayed, have turned aside to, excuse me, idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor things which they affirm." So it's the simplicity of the gospel. That's what he says, that, you know, what you need to say. But there are some people who will try to make it very difficult for you to be a Christian. You got to do all those things, otherwise you're not a Christian. And also 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. 1 Timothy 6. "One teaches otherwise, does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes, arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions." And here we see some people, it's what you need. I mean, why? Everything what Christ did on the cross is for godliness. But if anybody is teaching something other than what Christ, trying to argue and so forth like that, through minor things, trying to major on minors, you got to be very careful. The fifth characteristics of a false teacher: false teachers cover and color their dangerous principles and soul impostures with very fair speeches and plausible pretenses, with high notions and golden expressions. What he's trying to say is that they talk very nicely. They have a beautiful vocabulary. And they will talk the way with golden expressions that you will be seduced, brainwashed. Because the way they speak is so beautiful. They have a great personality. And they have the words to say. I'll tell you, they are good salesmen. It's like a sales pitch. They're very good at it. And here, it's so seducing. The way they do it. The way they say it. And Thomas Brooks says, as wars, that means like a prostitute, who paint the faces and perfume their beds and allure them, deceive the simple soul. Just like a prostitute who will paint the face and put beautiful perfume and, how to trick and get somebody into bed. That's how the false teachers are. And it's so tempting. So false teachers will put a great deal of paint and garnish upon their most dangerous principles and blasphemies, and they may deceive and delude poor ignorant souls. They know sugared poison goes down sweetly. They wrap up their penish, I don't know, it's a very strong word here, as soul-killing pills in gold at the end, whatever that. Soul-killing pills in gold. Looks like gold pills. Everybody likes to swallow that. Let us see some scriptures. Then he gives a lot of scriptures here. Galatians chapter 6 verse 12. This is during the Paul's time, Apostle Paul's time. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh. You see that? A lot of people like to desire to show a good showing in the flesh. These would compel you to circumcise. Of course, Paul's time, there were false teachers who say, unless you're circumcised, you're not saved. And here, they will compel. They will put a burden upon you. And if you don't do it, you're not saved. I mean, they will put all kinds of burdens upon you. You got to do this and that and that. And it's the way they do it is so deceptive. Very deceptive. A good showing in the flesh. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13. We saw this scripture last week too. 2 Corinthians 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Verse 18 says, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. These people, they can transform as like an angel of light. They will come with the Bible as transforming, as an angel of light. They will use the word of God, not in context, just like how Satan quoted scripture to Jesus Christ. False prophets, they quote scriptures. Believe me or not, they have a lot of scriptures. So does the Jehovah's Witnesses, so does the Mormons, so does all these false prophets. They have a lot of scriptures, but they use it out of context. This is not sound doctrine. So these poor, miserable, ignorant souls who are not studying the Word of God, they are being easily tricked and trapped. And they fall into that. So these false teachers put a big burden upon them. They put a big burden upon them. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. They are flattering speech, very convincing the way they speak. Now I urge you, brethren, note that those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, avoid them. Then verse 18 says, for those who are such
do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but what? Their own belly, by what? Smooth words, flattering speech. What do? Deceive the hearts of who? The simple. Very clear. And Matthew chapter 16:11. It, how is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of what? Of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, that is in verse 6. They were literally talking about about the, you know, the bread or the leaven, but the leaven is the false doctrines of the Pharisees. It looks so good, it's nicely big and puffed up. What does the yeast do when it, you know, when it make into a dough? It's so, yeah, very nice, it puffed up, beautiful. That's how it looks, the false doctrines. And also Matthew 7:15. 15. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you, how? In sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And here we see they come to you in sheep's clothing. And we saw last time the sheep's clothing. When somebody comes to you in sheep's clothing, they look like a sheep, right? But inside they are what? Ferocious wolves. Now how do you get rid of that? How do you discern the sheep clothing? And we saw our job is to take away that sheep's clothing to see who they are. Right? And as I told you the story last week, how two Mormon people came to my place. And everything what I said, they agreed. So they look like sheep. So what I did was, I didn't want to stay there longer. I had to get to the bottom of the root. And I said, well, your Jesus is not my Jesus. You have a different gospel, a different Jesus. They said, no. I said, well, your Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. Then suddenly, there was a gap there. And I told them, show me, you believe that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, right? That's what the Mormon doctrine teaches. And these are elders. They said, yes. I said, show that in the Bible. You have a different Jesus than I have. Out they went. Suddenly, now, we took the sheepskin away and I saw a wolf now. Now, what is the sheepskin here? Sheepskin is vocabulary. Sheepskin is the way you speak. You speak like a Christian. That's the vocabulary. Sheepskin is terminology. They use the word Trinity. They use God. They use Jesus. They use the scriptures. That terminology. That's the sheepskin. So our goal is to what? Bring to the root, just like how Jesus exposed Satan. Read all our context and show that they are wrong, and then suddenly you see a wolf. And the sixth characteristic is false teachers strive more to win over men to their opinion than to better them in their conversion. They want to, you know, they want to show that their opinion is right rather than to convert you to Christ Jesus. And Matthew chapter 23:15, Jesus said to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. And they busy themselves above most men's head. Their work is not to better men's heart, mend their lives, and this they are very much like their father, the devil, who will spare no pains to gain proselytes. So here we see all these false teachers, they have instead of the word of God, they have their rules and regulations. And this is what it is. You have to be conformed to the rules and regulations. You got to attend their meetings, okay? That's number one. If you don't attend their meetings, hey, there's something wrong with you. And you got to attend these meetings. You got to, in Philippines, there's a cult that you got to attend the leader's birthday. And if it's called Iglesia Ni Cristo. And if you don't attend the leader's birthday, you're not saved. And so all this stuff, minor things, that is not in the Bible. What is this? How many people have been deceived? And you know the story of Ghana, what happened is, right? So many people died poisoned, and because they are following these false doctrines. It's so deceptive. The whole thing is so brainwashing. It's a brainwashing thing. And the seventh characteristic is false teachers make merchandise of their followers. They make what? Merchandise of their followers. They make money. All thing is a business. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 13. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness or greediness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. It's a greediness. Greediness for money. Covetousness has to do with money, things, material things that you want. You're lusting after. You're lusting after these things. And if you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 3. I like the original King James. I don't have my Bible with me today, the right one. Because 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 3 says, this one says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. But in the original King James says, and through covetousness shall they with their vain words make merchandise of you. That's better Greek there. The Greek word is emperotiomai. It means to buy and sell and to make profit. That's the Greek word. That's why I like the original King James. Because it means to buy and sell and make profit. That's the whole thing. How many times you see your people, they look at some TV preacher preaching, and at the end they put a burden on you. You're being like, you know, you need to buy this thing. You know, if you don't buy, you fall under some guilt. Right? And you need to give money. If you don't give the money to us, you're under the wrath of God. You need to give the 10%. It's the whole ministry is money, money, money. The center is money. You put a big guilt, a burden on your wallet. It's not Christ. It's money. And this is what it is. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 3. And if you see in Ezekiel chapter 22:25, conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. Isn't that what Peter said? Satan is like a roaring lion trying to devour people. Where did Peter get that from? From here. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and clean, and they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get what? Dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divine lines for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. That means today, this is what the scriptures say, but the scriptures doesn't say that. Many are saying this is what the scriptures, but the scriptures doesn't say that. And it says here, the people of the land have used oppressions. They oppress you, put a burden on you, committed robbery. That means they steal something out of your money, right? Wallet. And mistreated the poor and the needy. And they wrongfully oppress the stranger. Even the strangers, they wrongfully oppress them. Whole thing is, you're under a yoke. You're under prison. You're under their law. You're under, you are kind of, you know, you got to go to church, you know, if I don't go, I'm lost. You got to give the money. You got to do this. On the other hand, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let's see Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 3. Now, actually starting from verse 1. And the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Talking. God telling Ezekiel, you now prophesy not to the people, but to the false prophets. Alright? Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? Verse 3, you eat the fat and clothe yourself with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flocks. I tell you, if you really go and see their bank accounts, then you will know. Sometimes they will disguise you, even driving, you know, a poor car or anything like that, just to show you. But you see their bank account, go and see the homes they live, go and see their real wealth, you know who they are. And you can see that it's always centered on money. It's a business. And Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, let's end with this. This, and he said to me, Son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, and that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. Then verse 10, the message is this. Verse 9. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll, and a book was in it. This is the word of God. Then he spread it before me. That's the word of God. And there was writing on the inside and outside, and was written on it were what? Lamentations, mournings, and woe. We saw that last Sunday evening. What was the word of God? Lamentations, mourning, and woe. To who? Not to the outside, but to the children of Israel who are rebellious. And God told Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 1, more, he said to me, Son of man, eat with you fine, eat this scroll and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly, fill your stomach with this scroll, which was given to you. Then, so when I ate, it was in my mouth, what? Like honey in sweetness. It is lamentations, woes. But when you eat the word of God, wow! Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you eat it, wow! I was under bondage. I was under depression, oppression. I was tricked. I was deceived. Now you eat it. You truly eat. You know, eating is really studying. You know, we saw the word study is what? Spoudazo. Huh? Be diligent, present yourself, approved unto God. Alright? Diligent study is what? Spoudazo. It means labor yourself in the word of God. The spoudazo means laboring. It means like a person who found a treasure. If you are going to find treasure, you're going to labor trying to dig for that treasure. And when you found it, you're so excited. That's the word, spousdazo, the Greek word. And when you eat it, when you find it, you say, wow, the word of God is so sweet. So great. And once you see the sweetness of the Lord, once you see what He has done, the sweetness, what Christ has done for us, in His word, in His work, wow, that's enough. I don't want anything else sweet. This is it. Nothing else. Let's pray. And it's profitable for our souls. Will you stand?